Welcome to Blended Family Today, the radio outreach of the Bonded Family. Join our hosts, Dan and Rebecca Snell, as they extend encouragement, hope, and biblical insight to America's stepfamilies. Listen in as they highlight common topics in stepfamily dynamics, answer questions on air, or interview a special guest, author, or family relationship expert. Now, here's Dan and Rebecca with today's message of how God can take a stepfamily from broken to blended to bonded.
Way too often caught in the middle of stepfamily situations. They're faced at times with struggles and decisions that parents place them into. Today we're going to discuss children in blended families. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 shares a powerful message to parents as it reads, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." There are myths, truths, and life choices that shape the legacy in your blended family. Stay tuned and discover how your family legacy may testify to love.
For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love. I'll be a witness in the silences when words are not enough. With every breath I take, I will give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love.
Good morning. Welcome once again to Blended Family Today. This is Dan Snell here with the prettiest girl I ever saw, the girl that I still chase around the kitchen counter and romance, my bride, Rebecca.
You're so sweet. I don't know about all that.
Can you say that? Can you say that, you think, on radio, that I chase you around the kitchen counter?
Yes.
Well,
thank you.
Well, we just want to have a little fun here.
It's good to be here.
Yes.
We've had a wonderful week, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. It's been a great week. Want to give a hello and a shout out to all our new friends in Kirksville, Missouri. Was up there at a pastor's dinner and met some very special people. Also this week, wow. One of the true highlights, not just for a week, but of a lifetime.
I would say of a lifetime, spend
time with someone who you know I like to enjoy and emulate because of my admiration and love for this man and his family.
And his family, that's right.
We got to meet Zig Ziglar in person in Springfield, Missouri, along with his bride, Jean, the redhead that he speaks about always, as well
incredible lady.
Yeah, as well as Julie Ziglar. Yeah. Norman, who along with Jim Norman, her husband, have been on the program. So far now, we just have to meet Tom and Cindy. We'll have met their family, so it's an exciting week. We were just very blessed to have that time with the Ziglars.
Not many people get to do that, and I think I was, when we went in and we spent that time with his family, I was taken aback by the love that they have for each other, the love and the gentleness.
Yeah.
Amazing family.
Just genuine.
Sometimes really, truly genuine.
When a person has acquired the public aura or the sensation or the presence that the Ziglar family has, sometimes you find them to be a little standoffish or aloof.
Untouchable, right.
Most genuine, just loving, instantaneous, people-loving.
Right. And who are we? You know, we walk in, who are we?
That's right.
So that was amazing.
But we want to make sure, honey, that we're not, that no one thinks that by talking about our opportunity to meet Zig that we're doing anything name-dropping. You know that I hate name-droppers.
Yes.
It's just something I detest. In fact, just this week also, I was talking with Billy Graham about that very thing. It's a joke, folks, to get it talking about Billy Graham name-dropping. Okay.
Humble, you gotta say, humble.
We like to have fun. We like to have fun on this program. We take our work seriously in helping you, the blended families out there in America, because we do want you to be looking up. We want to point you to the Lord God Almighty, because He can take your stepfamily from broken to blended to bonded. But we do have fun. Even here in the radio studio, we like to have fun. And today, we're very excited because our producer, Austin Bryant, has a birthday tomorrow.
Yes,
and
happy
so in the
birthday,
spirit
Austin.
Of having joy and some fun here on the program, I have especially invited, now, and this is breaking news here, that America, I don't know if you know this, but Elvis is alive.
Oh no.
And Elvis is in the studio here. He was going to just be quick in and out. Elvis, great to have you.
Thank you very much.
Elvis, would you please sing Happy Birthday to Austin?
Thank you very much. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Woo, Elvis.
Happy birthday, dear Austin. Happy birthday to you.
Oh! Elvis, unbelievable. Now, Elvis, I know you got to scoot. He's got to scoot.
Woo-hoo!
Elvis. Austin, happy birthday to you. Appreciate all you do to help us. You actually help us sound like we're really officially
Elvis.
On the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, each week. So God bless you. Appreciate you. 26 years old. Is that 1983? Yes, that's a special year for me. You were born that year, and I was born again that year, March 27th, 1983. So how about that?
Yeah,
it's a good year.
He's a young pup.
Well, let's get to the program today. The theme is, after all that fun, let's get to some serious things. The theme is myths, truths, and legacy in blended families. Myths, truths, and legacy. What are the myths, the common myths in stepfamily dynamics? What are the truths, the real truth that we want to hold on to?
Mm-hmm.
And then what will be the legacy in your family?
The legacy we leave.
Yeah, can be a powerful thing. And we're going to talk about children today and how they are affected with all these myths and truths.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to say, both of those, myths and truths. Everybody at home and listening, try to say myths and truths.
You're
like three times.
You're just intimidated by Elvis, honey.
Yeah, I have to do my mouth exercises to get that right. I know
right.
Elvis just left. I mean, he scooted out of here with his security guards because, you know, people, there he goes. Look, they can see the limousine driving off outside the window there.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. What a good thing. I wish he could have sang Amazing Grace for us, because he can really sing Amazing Grace well. I've heard him sing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, myths, truths, and legacy. You know, this is a series that also parallels we have for our listeners that can go back and listen to our series on forgiveness. And it might be good to note that you can find podcasts of all of our previous programs. We've talked about acceptance, we've talked about forgiveness, we've talked about, you know, relationships, we've talked about a number of different things, parenting, fathering, a lot of different things. Sometimes we just have question and answer programs. You can go to thebondedfamily.com and go to the radio program, and there's the radio archives, and you can scroll up and down and find some of our guests, like the Ziegler family we had two weeks ago, or Pat Williams, been on a couple times, outstanding guest, father to 19. We've had Dr. Ken Canfield. We've had Carrie Casey.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Dr. Bob Record. We've had Dr. Dan Erickson, Patricia Plum from the Forgiveness Institute. I hope we didn't miss anybody there, but you can go to thebondedfamily.com, the radio archives, and listen to all those previous programs. And we're getting a lot of emails in that people are doing that, so that's an exciting thing. And we're still at 49 states that tune in. If you've got somebody right now listening, wherever they are, worldwide, they can go to thebondedfamily.com, Blended Family Radio, and click on the 1510. The 1510 logo, and it'll take you right to the streaming audio, or you can just go to 1510.com. So let's get into myths, truths, and legacy. Folks, you won't want to miss this program. There's going to be a lot of things that we say today that I'm sure there's going to be somebody out there that says, hey, wait a minute, that's not what my lawyer said, right, honey? Sometimes lawyers will say one thing,
right,
and it's not exactly what we always agree with. Lawyers are...
Lawyers don't always set your mind on positive thinking.
Yeah, that sometimes they get on the stinking thinking wagon. That's right.
Not all lawyers.
And sometimes, certainly we believe and work closely with family therapists and counselors, depending on where they're coming from. But somebody out there today might say, hey, wait a minute, that's not what my counselor told me. And then the situation where somebody says, hey, that's not what my mom told me. Of course, sometimes mom has been married for 50 years and doesn't always know some of the dynamics that we've tried to study. But the key in all this and what this program is about is the children today, because the children are watching and listening, aren't they, honey?
That's right. The children are watching and listening, and I'll tell you what, in this world, we got problems.
We got problems. Yes, we got problems. It starts with a P.
Okay.
The things we're going to talk about today, again, myths, truths, and legacy. One of the things that we are going to talk about is sometimes that we don't recognize that these children are truly a gift from God, and we just sometimes think of them as something that when they're going from mom's house to dad's house, whatever the situation, sometimes, and wrongfully so, parents think of the children as they're some form of, well, they're mine. It's like that from Finding Nemo, the birds. Mine. Remember that? They're not. They're God's. These are God's children. Remember that. Write that down. These children belong to God. They are a gift to you. You're going to share them. Write that down. Share. That's a key thing. Sometimes we treat children, when you get into that situation where we treat them like they're a possession or something, which they're not, and then we feed their minds with some, what I would say, toxins.
You know, there's a poem written by Dorothy Law Nolte. I remember the first part of this poem. I think everybody has the first part memorized. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns violence. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. But what we don't always see or remember about this poem is the second half, and I think it's the best half. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to love the world. We are shaping our children by our thoughts, by our words, by our attitudes. Everything we do is molding our children.
That's a great poem, honey. That's what we'll do is I'm going to put that poem up on our blog, give credit to the author. And so by tonight, if you like that, there was the first part, which was the toxic part, right?
Well, it's the part we remember.
Yeah. We don't want them to remember the first part. We want them to remember the second part.
Well, parents, too.
Well, put it in the perspective of what we feed our children. You know, would you feed them junk food all day long? No. And expect them to grow up strong? No. You want to feed them good food. Would you buy a Maserati or a Mercedes and then throw toxic waste on the hood?
Right.
You wouldn't do that. Or you wouldn't buy a new suit or a new pair of shoes and walk through a cow pasture in the middle of a rainstorm. You'd get full of... Can you say that? Can you say manure?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you know, since we've been spending the week with Zig Ziglar and his family, I've been pulling out all of our little Zig Ziglar library books.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. He's got this one that's really awesome. It's called Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. And he's the one, I say, we've got problems. He's the one, his chapter 2 says, we've got problems. And he says, the first problem is negative conversation and negative self-talk.
That's
the truth. You know, it's the truth in life, but it can sometimes be the real truth in a blended family.
And that book that you were referencing, I think it was first published 1985.
1985,
Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World by Zig Ziglar. You may go to Ziglar.com and see if there's available of it, or you can get it on eBay, I'm sure.
Probably Amazon.
Amazon.com. You may have a re-release, I'm sure. We're going to be back in a minute. We're talking about myths, truths, and legacy. A lot of things you'll want to hear on Blended Family Today. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Amanda, and for my birthday, I got an amazing wind desk for my room. I really love it. Bob at Red Barn Woodworks built it for me. Bob is the owner. He built us my special desk and some cabinets for my mom. My dad said I'll have that desk forever. If you want to light up your child's eyes with a gift that will last a lifetime, call Red Barn Woodworks at 913-708-3651. That's 913-708-3651. Or find it at thebondedfamily.com.
Are you looking for a church to bring your blended family to? Want to feel truly welcome? First Baptist Church of Raytown is your blended family-friendly home. Look for the tall steeple off of 350 Highway in Raytown. Feel welcome. Sunday services at 9:30 and 11. Fantastic youth programs, special step family Bible studies, and support to serve you. Be welcomed with the love of God. Visit firstbaptistraytown.com. That's firstbaptistraytown.com.
Hello friends, Craig Miller here, and I've got something that every homeowner needs right now. The truth. You need to know the truth about refinancing. Yes, rates have dropped to near record lows, but guess what's at record highs? The points, junk fees, and outrageous costs that are charged to homeowners. That's right, most people pay way too much in closing costs when they refinance. Worse yet, most don't even know how much they paid because many mortgage companies don't properly disclose the costs. Friends, refinancing your home doesn't have to be confusing or intimidating. The bottom line is simple. You need the lowest rate, and as importantly, the lowest costs. That's where I come in. Dial 816-222-2222. My company, First Trust Mortgage, has been a leading mortgage bank for over 20 years, and our commitment to true integrity ensures you get the right loan at the greatest savings. 816-222-2222. Whether you need a purchase, refinance, or debt consolidation loan, do what I've said for years. Call me first or call me last. Just call and compare, and you will discover the difference. Call 816-222-2222. Thanks, and God bless.
Hey, Taylor, what are you doing?
Instant messaging Kelsey.
Do you know that there's something faster and better than instant messaging?
No. What is it?
It's called constant messaging, and you don't even need a computer. In fact, everybody sends constant messages, but not everyone knows how to do it to his or her best advantage.
To learn about constant messaging, call 888-881-1660 or visit OutFluenceOnline.com. Outfluence, the better way to influence.
To any parent, that sweet sound brings joy to our faces as a son or daughter plays their first band instrument. Meyer Music has been bringing smiles to Kansas City families for 42 years. Meyer Music, with three locations in the KC area, works in harmony with all the area school districts, beginning band instruments via their Meyer Music Rent to Learn program or taking a personal music lesson. Meyer Music is the family-oriented place to turn. Visit MeyerMusic.com or call 816-228-5656. Call today. Please tell them the Bonded Family sent you. That's 816-228-5656.
It was simpler back in grade school. If a sports play went wrong, we could simply shout, "Do over," and start again. But what if life goes wrong? The good news is that God loves you and do-overs. He planned to give each of us a fresh start in life. With the love and favor of God, each day can be a new beginning. To learn more, purchase and read Dr. Dan Erickson's latest book, God Loves Do-Overs, at thebondedfamily.com.
There are days when I feel the best of me is ready to begin. And there are days when I
We are back with Blended Family Today, the radio outreach of the Bonded Family. Dan and Rebecca Snell, happy every Sunday to be together first, to have great family, and then to try to share what God has done in our life, what we've seen happen in other lives, because we do know that God can take any situation from broken to blended to bonded.
Amen.
Amen. Our theme today is myths, truths, and legacy. We talk about the legacy in your family a few weeks back, and we got a few in, still looking for that home run homework essay that we could share. A few weeks back, I asked if you're out there and you're listening, a little homework assignment would be to write us a letter. You don't have to give your name. We would never share your name. We always keep things in confidence, of course, but to write a letter as if it were the year 2031. So it's like 22 years from now, if my math is right. 2031, what does your family look like? Your children are grown. You could share what the hurts and pains looking back, but project yourself into 2031,
mm-hmm.
that it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or the 4th of July. And our prayer for you is that what you do from this day to that day will be major mm-hmm. in how you leave a legacy. And that's why we're on the air, is to try to encourage you and give you hope, give you insight and inspiration.
You know, that's one of the hardest things to do in a blended family or post-divorce when you've gone through so much conflict. It's really hard not to look at the trials that's standing right at your door,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of times those trials are so huge and monumental, you can't think of looking past them. But the truth is, it's really important. Think about what you want to see 30 years from now and 40 years from now. And remember that everything that is being done in your family today, every word being spoken, every roll of the eyes, every communication from your facial expressions to your words to just your actions, everything that you do will be remembered 30 and 40 years from now. And how do you want that to be remembered? And it's really easy to get yourself in a soul trap.
Mm.
of negative thinking. You know, if you set your eyes on all that is negative around you, and there's a lot out there in this world, even if you're not in a blended family and haven't walked through the trials of divorce, there's an awful lot of negative things out there. And we almost have to exercise our brain and our mind in a harder way. You know, we think about going on a diet. We think about getting exercise for our body. But we don't always think about what we put into our minds and how that's affecting our family. Because junk in is junk out. Well, I'm not.
Garbage in, garbage out.
And one of the things here's a quote from Zig in his book, Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World.
Then it's a good one.
Yeah, and it's always good. He's got the best, you know. Before Twitter, he was the perfectionist when it came to one sentence or two line quotes.
You know, if you want to continually be encouraged on Twitter by some of Zig's Zigism, Tom Ziglar, his son, who's the CEO of Ziglar Corporation, has, you just go at Tom Ziglar on Twitter, and pretty much every day comes up with some of Zig's quotes, very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And Zig was made for Twitter, even though he was, God
Twitter
made him,
existed.
Because he's 140 characters perfect every time.
That's right. Anyway, his quote goes like this: "You are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. You can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes into your mind." And you know, the Bible is full of that advice. There are just scripture after scripture testifies to what Zig just said here. What you put into your mind will be what you get out. So focus on all that is good and right and just, and renew your mind with what God says. You know, a lot of times we're trapped in the brokenness. In Lamentations, it says, I don't remember what chapter this is, I guess probably chapter 3, "He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord." Boy, isn't that how we can sometimes feel in a blended family or post-divorce? "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." And here's one of your favorites, and this is something that Dan has reminded our children of and reminded me of on almost a daily basis. Not that I needed it, but it is, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." So every morning, he can renew you, he can restore you, he can fill your mind with good, positive things.
Boy, thanks, honey. That's so true. His mercies are new every morning. Put that, write it in your heart, write it in your mind, write it on the kitchen refrigerator door. His mercies are new every morning, because we're not perfect. No parent is perfect. No child is perfect. We go through seasons of life. There may be a week that life is great, but if you keep looking up, if you know that his mercies are new every morning, you don't lay your head on the pillow without first forgiving your spouse, forgiving a child, not going to bed angry. That comes right from Scripture. And if you start every morning anew, it's a fresh start. If you teach your children that, hey, it's a fresh start, it's a new morning. Yeah, we had a tough day. I'm not a perfect stepparent. Hey, I'm new at this too. You're new at this. We're all new at this. We're going to do this together. If you keep positive, then God is going to bless it. If you keep looking up saying, Lord, get me through this. So this whole thing about the legacy. Talk about a legacy here. We go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. God had called Abraham to sacrifice his son. He didn't know the whole thing when he was going up there. But he calls him up there, lays his son down, and he's supposed to literally kill his son. How often, an analogy here, is it a struggle for us with our children to really need to be willing to sacrifice in the relationship so that they have a relationship with the other parent, with the grandparents, with their brothers and sisters. At the last second, the loving God said, stop, don't do that. And then he said to Abraham, actually, an angel of the Lord said to Abraham from heaven, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, because he was going to literally murder his son, this is the part, take into your heart, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Okay, what am I trying to say? As our friend Carrie Casey always says, okay, what am I trying to say here? So what I'm trying to say here is if you obey the Lord and his precepts and you trust in this book, the parenting manual, the marriage book, the book of books, the word of God, if you do that, that your children and your offspring, here it says your descendants and your offspring, they will be blessed. Dr. Tony Evans says we're either always going into a storm, in the middle of a storm, or coming out of a storm, which is sometimes true, especially in blended family dynamics. It's true, but if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and let him direct you, you watch what happens, because we have seen it in our family, we've seen it in other families, and we've had testimonies of people write us and say, wow.
You know, that's that sounds good, and especially if you're a Christian, you understand what that means. But sometimes when I hear that, I go,
Well, yeah, sure, buddy. Sure. Yeah, sure. That's easy for you to say. What is this mumbo jumbo?
Here, it's kind of like I have these visions of my school days when and I went to a Christian school where the teacher was pretty much standing firmly and sternly before us saying, read your Bible, you know, and that was just like telling, I don't know, it just didn't work for me. And really, I mean, obey God. Of course, we want to obey God. But sometimes I found when going through all of these trials, it wasn't about being just disciplined in my own strength or obeying God in my own strength. I was pretty much flat out desperate for words of advice. And the Bible is not a battering rod. It's really fuel. If you start reading God's word, it really fills you up and gives you great thoughts and great ideas and great motivation and great direction. It's more positive than negative. It's anyway, I'm not saying that very well.
Well, yeah. Well, no, you're saying it really well, honey. I know that one of the things that I've often heard Zig say, what he says is positive thinking won't let you do anything, but it will let you do everything better than negative thinking will. And I'll say that so they can fully understand.
Okay.
Positive thinking won't let you do anything, but it will let you do everything better than negative thinking will.
Right.
And you know where Zig's foundation is? He is in
area
of the Word of God.
Yes.
And so he knows that.
Yeah. You know, Uncle Tom's Cabin, that book written by Harriet Beecher Stowe, she's got a great line in there. It says, don't the Bible say we must love everybody? It says, oh, the Bible, to be sure. It says a great many things, but then nobody ever thinks of doing them.
That was a very good imitation of her. I don't know exactly what she.
I'm not
I don't
as
know
good
if she,
as
we
you.
Have a recording. That's really good, honey.
Y'all like that?
Yeah. So we're gonna wind down here on the legacy part, but let me just give a blessing that happened this week. We have a 19-year-old daughter, Sarah. She was going through some trials in college. Of course, in college, you're always going to go through trials. And so she calls me and says, "Dad, let me tell you about a verse that really encouraged me." And it's from Genesis again. And with Joseph, we all know Joseph went through a lot of trials. Everybody was kind of jealous of Joseph, and that sometimes happens. Jealousy is a horrible thing. And his brothers, you know, threw him in the well. They threw him under the bus, and then he, in the end, was loving to them. But Joseph said this. He was talking to in Genesis 50, and he said he was talking about if somebody's trying to harm you. Remember, this is from the Word of God. He said Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done and the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them.
Wow.
You know what's great is if you haven't ever invested time in this book, do. Get a Bible that in the back has concordance that you can look up words from hope to encouragement to thunder to thanksgiving to whatever it might be, to rubbish, to rumors, to rules. The Bible is full of tips, and you can find verses specifically for that.
You know, when I was younger, I started to take a little bit of karate and then Taekwondo. You didn't know that, did you?
Well, I wanted that one day.
It
you threw me
during college.
Give me that famous flip there, and I thought, well, how'd
well,
she do
one
that?
One of the.
She didn't really throw
okay.
me.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking about what you were saying. Now, come on, I'm going to amplify what you
okay.
said. What Satan meant for evil, God will use for good. It makes me think of Taekwondo. You know, where some big, huge.
Oh yeah. I get. I'm there. Well, go ahead. They get
some
okay.
big, huge guy is coming at you. Okay, he's going to attack you, and you literally use his strength, his weight, his aggression against him. Hmm. And a lot of times in a blended family, if your eyes are on God, everything that you look at in front of you that is bad, God can work toward good. And think of that Taekwondo, that attack coming full force, that when you look at it as a human, you go, oh my goodness, there's no way I'm going to survive this. You can have confidence that God is going to use the strength of what's coming at you for your good if you keep your eyes on Him. Mm-hmm. And that makes you look at all the problems in your family, all the challenges that you're facing. That makes you look at them in a completely different way. But you have to trust that God is true in His word, that He will use all things toward good.
Mm, good
okay.
stuff.
I'm done then, preaching.
We're kind of on a sports talk station here, and the whole Taekwondo thing ties
Taekwondo.
Right in.
I
can't
hope
even
it's
say
Taekwondo.
It. You took it. I can't even say it right.
Yeah. Yeah. Taekwondo.
So, okay, let's talk about the truth. Let's talk about some real basic truths. Pay attention now, okay? Pay attention. Some real.
I've got their attention.
Truth. Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah.
I think you do.
Yeah.
A truth that we think, and you've heard us talk about this before, is that the Word of God does explain out what's referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
I remember, honey, when we were first married, and I know our children do, they'll carry mm-hmm. this with them as part of their legacy all the days of their lives. We were first married. You took an old table, and the kids watched you paint over this kitchen table, an old wooden table, and you painted mm-hmm. the fruit of the Spirit mm-hmm. on that table.
You know what?
And
I
it was
that.
Around the edge. It was, you know, kindness, gentleness, perseverance,
mm-hmm.
patience, self-control, mm-hmm. joy, all those things. And the kids we'd have them look at those. And then
against such things, there is no law.
Yeah.
You know why I did that? Because I couldn't memorize the fruit of the Spirit. And I thought that they were so cool. And I thought, you know, what if you just sat at a different place every night and right under where you were sitting was another fruit of the Spirit? You'd eventually have to get it in your head, right? Even if
right.
they weren't in order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for $25,000, you'll paint anybody in America a table. No, I'm teasing. But you could get, you know, folks, you can Google fruit of the Spirit. Uh-huh. You can get a Bible and look again in the concordance.
I bet all our kids know what they are.
Yeah. And
not,
what I'm saying is somewhere in your house, this is a truth. If you hold this truth close, share it with your children, and it's there, they'll read it. Mm-hmm. Get it, put it on your wall, the fruit of the Spirit. They'll read those, and they'll go, you can talk about them. That's one truth that we have seen make a big difference in our children, because the children remember it today.
Well, you talk about stinking thinking and what goes into your mind, junk in is junk out. Jesus was talking about the fruit and trees that bear fruit, and he was saying a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So if you were to think of yourself as a tree, you know, and you want to bear good fruit with your children that will last generations, that will leave a legacy, you really have to bear good fruit. And so the fruits of the Spirit are kindness, peace, patience, understanding, or self-control, blah, blah, blah. See, look at me. I'm still having trouble.
Well, we're always a work in process. God's
but
got
if,
us all
but
the work
if you're,
in process.
If the fruit, if you've got junk in, you know, you've got rejection breeding rejection, you know, rejection brings on feelings of worthlessness, and worthlessness brings on self-hate, and self-hate incites negative behavior in order that it can alleviate the pain, and the negative behavior produces rejection, and then you go right back into rejection brings on feelings of worthlessness, and you get yourself caught in this soul rut where your soul and your spirit is being stolen by evil and stolen by Satan, and that is not what God has for you. He wants you to have eyes on Him, to hear what He says, to put good things in your mind so that good things will come out and leave a legacy for your children, for your children's children, for the generations to come.
Let's go to the second truth. We've got them all reaching for the fruit.
Yeah.
We've said this often. It's the very basis of our marriage. It's the very basis of what we encourage for every husband and wife out there. And that is that your marriage, ordained by God, must be first and foremost of the relationships here on earth.
Mm.
You must be bonded together through your relationship with the Lord God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Men, be the leaders in this. Take your wife's hand daily,
mm-hmm.
if not more than once daily, and say, honey, let's just pray for each one of our children.
Mm-hmm.
You watch what happens. That's all I'm going to say as Forrest Gump, and that's all I got to say about that, as Forrest Gump would say, but man, you do that and you watch what happens.
Right.
That's all I got to say about that.
And we know this because we didn't start out so good. We didn't have both feet in the circle. When you come from hurt and you come from pain and you come from rejection and your life has fallen apart, sometimes when you start this new marriage, it's very rocky. And always, preeminently, is that the word, on your mind is the thought that it could happen again, that it could happen again. And I'll never forget, you know, when you and I were first married, all of the trials that we were facing were really wreaking havoc on our relationship and our love for each other. And we were so insecure individually that we weren't coming together collectively. We weren't trusting that God was going to make this okay. And I remember one time being in tears and calling my best friend, Melanie, and saying, Melanie, help. Now, Melanie had been through divorce too, so she knew. She knew what the perils were, and she understood, or at least I really felt like she did. And that little girl, she was like, she's a woman, but she's just the shortest little patoot you'd ever seen, but she's a powerhouse. She
patoot?
Came.
Can you say that? Can you say patoot?
She came to our house, you know, knocked on the door. She stormed in, you know what? She stands in front of me, and she plants her feet, hands on waist, and she says, Rebecca, divorce is not an option.
Amen.
Do you remember that?
I'm thankful for that.
But I hadn't had that in my, imagine that, knowing, walking through the pain of divorce and knowing what havoc it wreaked. Imagine me not having in my mind that divorce was not an option.
And surely there's someone out there right now going, well, that's their story, but that's not us. We don't have those problems. We don't need to hear about their story. 23 million plus blended family households in America right now, research will show that 15 million of them are struggling in some way or another. They may not today, but they may have this exact conversation where they're struggling with their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the research shows that the husband and wife in a blended family,
mm-hmm.
within 6 years, 70% mm-hmm. are failing again.
Amen.
So we
we're
go through the cycle.
Bolt.
Yeah, we're
quick
in
to bolt.
A society where
I'm not going to be
hurt
again.
Yeah, I'm not going to be hurt.
You're
oh yeah,
here.
You're not good for me. You're not good for my children. So I'm going to bolt. The research, 70% within 6 years. But it also, the research through Barna and other great sources like Barna, shows that that drops to 38% if a husband and wife simply go to church, take their kids to church, and are part of a church home of some kind. We don't, you know, whatever denomination that you have, ask God to bless that family at your church, your family, and 38%. So it goes from 70 to 38, pretty big jump. Then, mm-hmm. if you get to what I talked about, if a husband and wife pray together daily, it drops to 8% or less as far as divorce. So what would you rather have? All the naysayers out there, there always is going to be naysayers,
uh-huh.
right? Do you want to have a 70% chance doing it your way, doing it the way that it's been the last 20, 30 years since
uh-huh.
divorce, unfortunately, has been rampant? Or do you want to do a way that maybe God has said, hey, I can show you in the book,
uh-huh.
this works.
Hey, can I share something with you?
You should.
Can you keep it a secret?
Okay. Don't, I won't tell anybody.
Okay. When we were really good in fighting, you know, really good, solid argument Uh-oh. Where I was sure I was right.
Well, yeah, most of the time you are. I finally learned
yeah.
that. Yes.
When we were really going at it, you know what the most irritating thing to hear was?
What?
Honey, let's pray. But I do have to say it worked. And also that little friend, Melanie, that was the other thing that she did. She didn't just plant her feet and tell me divorce was not an option. She stormed the gates of heaven in prayer for us.
Yeah.
And she also said, hey, you call me when your thoughts and your mind are going left and you need somebody to talk to. You call me at 3 a.m. if you have to. And I did call her. You don't know that, but I did call her. And
now
lots of times she would just pray. And I do have to say that even though it was irritating when you said, honey, let's pray, when you prayed,
when you heard it from her, it was okay.
No, that's not true. When you prayed, you softened my heart. God softened my heart.
Yeah, because the enemy The enemy isn't your spouse. It isn't your former spouse. It isn't the children. But the enemy is, as we can read in John 10:10, the evil one.
Well,
it is, you know, the devil does want to destroy marriages. Because God ordained marriage to be together, to have unity, to be love, all the things that he describes. His plan for marriage, but Satan comes to hurt and kill and destroy marriages, children,
family out.
But the Bible says after that, the good part, the positive part, but I have come, God, Christ has come, that you might have life and have it more abundantly, abundantly.
Yeah.
So you choose.
Well, sometimes too, though, when you started praying, and I don't know if you realized that you did this, when we were arguing, you were right, I was wrong, I was right, you were wrong. When you started praying, you prayed looking at me through the eyes of God. You weren't looking at me through your own eyes anymore. And I don't know if that you can call that a miracle or not, but that's just whenever you prayed, it was almost as though God came into your heart, into your spirit, and you began to pray for me looking through the eyes of God, not through your own eyes or not through my eyes.
Okay. Well, we hope you got that message. So somebody out there is going to turn to their spouse and say, honey, we really do need to be bonded. Somebody else out there is going to say, what are these guys talking about? So wherever you're at, you choose, but you watch what happens. The next thing is communication. That's a truth. This is a truth. How you communicate, both verbally and non-verbally, it affects the child's heart.
Mm-hmm.
The child is always watching, especially the younger the child. You can impact a life by a look or a gentle touch or whatever your words are. So verbal and nonverbal communication are powerful. There's a verse we often quoting scripture. There's the Message is a version of the Bible. We often use New American Standard or NIV, but this is from the Message, and I thought it was powerful. Proverbs 18:21, words kill, words give life. They either poison or fruit. You choose.
Ooh, I like that. And also, our new best friend, can we call him our new best friend, the Ziegler family? They'd be a great best friend for anybody. But Zig Ziegler, in this book that we were talking about earlier, Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World, he has a whole chapter 9, and I have to confess I haven't read it, but I can't wait to read it, is communicating with family members. And one of the quotes in this chapter is, most families do not communicate. They simply take turns talking. As you're drinking your coffee.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. They simply take turns talking.
And you know, Zig often talks about attitude. He has a great video. You can watch it on, just do Zig Ziegler Attitude on YouTube. In fact, I'm going to put it up on our Blended Families YouTube page.
Mm-hmm.
Zig Ziegler on Attitude. And he talks about a woman that had come after he had given a conference. And the attitude, she had this attitude, she was talking about her job. Oh, how bad her boss was, how bad the company was, the benefits were terrible. She didn't like the hours, she didn't like her desk, and she just went on and on. She had come to Zig because she thought Zig was gonna be the guy that fixed it all. And it's a great, I'm not going to go on, I just want you to go listen to that because it is the perfect attitude adjustment video. And that's let alone the rest of the story, you have to go and watch that.
That's right.
But you talked about attitudes. And I once, a few years back, came up with something that sometimes it's called tacky. Nobody wants to be tacky. Would anybody out there, if you're listening, do you want to be considered tacky? And what tacky stands for is toxic attitudes crush and kill the young.
Ooh.
The young at heart. Toxic attitudes crush and kill the young.
Did you do that?
It's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Sometimes I amaze myself. Once every about 10 years, I have something that's good. Both in the outside and the inside, you can have toxic attitudes that will crush a marriage, will crush a child's heart, a child's spirit, your relationship with your wife. It's toxic. Getting back, would you throw toxic waste on the hood of a new car? No. So you got a new marriage. You're all excited about this new marriage, just like you're excited about a new car. Would you throw some sludge, toxic sludge? Would you go to the landfill and scoop up the toxic area and throw it? No. So don't have a toxic attitude, which is talking negatively about anyone in the presence of the children. If you got something to talk to your wife about, take it in privately to your bedroom. Never, ever share anything about the other family, the other house, mom's house, dad's house, whatever it is. Don't have
stinking thinking.
Don't have stinking thinking.
You know, one of the other things that Zig said, talking about toxic things and what we allow to be put into our minds, he took our little daughter, Amanda. I think he really liked Amanda. Amanda surely liked him. And he pulls her over and he's talking to her about school and he's telling her, you know, Amanda, I read 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day that man sits, and he's careful and cautious about what he reads and what he puts in his mind. But for 3 hours a day, all the days of his life, he reads, and he fills his mind with good stuff. And I thought that that was a real good advice. And as we were walking out the door, do you remember what he said to you in terms of the bonded family and how we talk to people and the message that we give?
Yeah, literally, just there we were shaking hands and saying goodbye and zigging. And he really was one of those moments where it was just like eye to eye, man to man, mano a mano, message to my heart. As you help these families out there, don't ever let anybody tell you that the solution is not from God. Don't let anybody take the Lord God Almighty out of your message.
Wow.
And because he had shared with me that many years ago, people said, Zig, you're not going to make it if you keep talking about God on the stage. You got to get that. You got to cut that out of your stuff. And he said, the moment they said that, he said he felt the presence of God. He felt the Holy Spirit say, that's not for you, Zig. That's not from me. You know what to do.
Don't take God out of your message.
And look at how God has blessed that man, that legacy. Millions, professionally for many years, was a salesperson. Do you know how many times corporate world took us to go see a Zig Ziglar because they knew that the ongoing motivation, the ongoing lifting the spirit, and that everybody saw in that man something special. Now, some people don't always recognize it. They just thought, well, he had the secrets of closing the sale, right? Or I'll see you at the top. He had some positive thinking. Zig wasn't about positive thinking. He was about heavenly thinking. He was about looking up to God, trusting God, and using the skills that he gave us to make a difference, whether you're in sales or you're in management or you're leading people, whatever it might be.
And we talk about the Bible being the book of books. And his children told us at one point that everything that Dad believes in, every message he's given, everything he believes, every good advice that he has for people was taken out of the Bible, out of God's Word. So I think that's just amazing.
As we wind down today's program, we'd like to say a special thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged and that your spirit was blessed by the discussion and topic today. To obtain a free copy of today's program, a podcast is available by going to thebondedfamily.com and clicking on the Radio Ministry Archives button. Please check out the helpful books, CDs, and other items on our resource page. You can help the work of the ministry by taking a quick, easy-to-complete survey. And if you'd like to see and hear Dan or Rebecca in person, learn how to bring a B3 conference from broken to blended to bonded to your church or community. Write us at info@thebondedfamily.com. That's info@thebondedfamily.com. Now here's Dan and Rebecca to point you upward.
Well, we're back. The time always goes so fast, honey. We're talking about some real truth. And one truth, and we may have to continue this into next week, which I always love that when God gets going, it gets us excited.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about myths. I think it's important. We're going to talk about myths next week because we just have a few minutes left. Another truth for your marriage is remember how you treated your new spouse the first 50 days. This is one, honey, I have to compliment you. You always say to me, you gave me the nice compliment about the prayer, but you'd always say this. You'd say, is this how we would treat each other in the first 50 days of our marriage?
Yeah.
I always think that's so profound. Remember the first 50 days when love is in the air.
Yes, I
do. And all the feelings and all the excitement, and you wouldn't say harsh words. You wouldn't let your tongue go rampant. But all of a sudden we think, okay, well, we're married now, so I can say those things. That's what... Zig's getting a lot of compliments today, but he's just so fresh and such a joy to be with. But he says he courts his wife, Jean, the redhead, every day. He courts her. He told me also that. He said, you make sure you court that lovely lady every day.
Yeah. And well, you know, the thing is, in our marriage, the first 50 days, of course, were great. Then we had those valleys where we were really struggling, and then we started really, God was in our vision, in our sights, and we started really getting into his word and really listening to what he had to say. And I have to say that today, I love you more, and I adore you more, and I honor you more, now look at your all blushing, today than I did in those first 50 days, by the hand of God.
Somebody give me
stop it.
Somebody give me some Kleenexes.
Stop it. You're going to hurt my feelings.
No, honey, thank you. That's a lot. I love you more, too. I mean, just,
yeah, I mean,
even this week,
I'm serious.
I was thinking
that's
same
right.
thing.
That's right.
You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. And right. sometimes the sight, the view of things, mm-hmm. what the world says, the sight is not always great.
Right.
But we walk by faith as a family, as a husband and
right.
wife.
Psalm 107:9 says, "For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good."
Hmm.
You like that?
Hmm.
I wrote that in there, 8:12:05, in my journal.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I like it. We're talking about truths, myths, and legacy. And we talked about the legacy. What is your legacy? We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at radio at the Bonded Family, radio at the Bonded Family. You can write any questions that you want to have discussed on air, or we would love to hear what it's like you project your family to be based on how it is today and what you're going to do, the steps to get to a bonded family in 2031. What's your family look like?
Mm-hmm. What's your goal?
Yeah, what's your goal? Because if you don't have a goal that you're all going to be together joyfully and smiling, you can't quit. You can't just say, well, I'll be glad when our children are all grown and we don't have to be in this parenting environment. Uh-uh. You are a parent eternally. God placed you in those children's lives. He placed the children in your lives. You are to be a shining light and example for that family as a parent.
Mm.
And don't just think, okay, I got through that era.
Mm.
Uh-uh. You're going to parent ongoing. Children need the leadership of their parents all the days of their life.
Right. You know, since having been a child of divorce, one of the things I really wanted for my children, you know, one of the visions, the fanciful visions I had was that was Christmas Day, you know, being able to look at Christmas pictures from the past and not offending anybody. And sometimes when you're a child in divorce, nobody opens those photo albums and your heritage is almost ripped out from underneath you. You know, who are you and what are you about? And one of my dreams for our family was that we could all sit at the Christmas tree loving each other, loving on each other, thinking good things about each other, and looking at a photo album and having memories and having tradition, having heritage. It was always a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that now, don't we?
Yeah. Hey, man, we got so many great pictures.
We have history.
We take, can I say, we probably have taken 125,000 pictures
at
of all
least,
of our
I
children.
Think, yes, and everybody else that we've loved. Yes, sir.
Well, we can testify to love, and that's the name of this song as we wind down. And as we do each week, we close in prayer. And so let's just do that. Heavenly Father, you are a good and loving God, and we thank you for your love for families everywhere. Father, out there this morning, there is one family, one person listening right now, that they have wounds, they have brokenness, they have hurts. You can touch them. You can touch their heart. All you have to do is smile upon them and whisper, "I am here for you." And if they listen, and they watch how you would parent and be a child, they will see that they can testify to love, your love and your goodness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I will testify to love. I'll be a witness in the silences when words